Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, where is everybody today? They're all watching online. Hello? Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue in our series. So if you want to open with me, we've been preaching on strong and courageous. So if you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. We'll open up with verses 6 through 9. And then we're going to continue to look at Joshua's life, where we left off last time. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 6, says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. We exalt your name, Lord God. And we're asking again today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Because, Lord, we want to be used by you. Continue, Lord God, to do the work that you're doing in each one of us, God. And use us, Lord, we pray, for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, last time we were looking at Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 to 14, and that's when God called Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and 70 of the elders of Israel up on the mountain, and they saw God, the Bible says, and they ate with, you know, in his presence. And God revealed himself to them, which is a powerful thing. You know, they saw God. And they realized that the unseen and the seen worlds are always together. Even though, you know, we don't always see God, right? The unseen world is always there. And God was there in this specific instance. They were able to see him. And we showed instances of how, you know, there's angels round about us. With Elisha, when the armies of the Syrians came against them, and Elisha's servant was afraid, and the Lord said, "Lord, open up." I mean, and Elisha said, "Lord, open up his eyes." And he saw all around the mountains chariots of fire and angels all around them. We looked at Matthew 18 and we saw that the little children, that their angels always behold the face of my Father in heaven. And we talked about how there's angels in this place right now. There's unseen things that are here. And the unseen world and the seen world are not as far apart as we think they are. And God is fighting for us. I've been reading a book by Jen Wilkin that Cozy's mom Christine told me about. And there's a quote in there. It says this: "God is near whether we feel him to be or not. God is near whether we feel him to be or not. How mindful we are of this truth will directly affect the way we live." God is near. Whether you know it or not, God is near. He's with you. And if you really truly believe that, it affects the way you live. It affects the way you live. So we looked at that, and we were looking at how Joshua was there with them also. And this was part of Joshua's training. We saw in Exodus 17 that Joshua was the general that God used to fight the battles of the Lord. And then he brought him up on the mountain to see God. But we're going to look at another instance right now that's very similar to this. And so if you turn with me in Exodus to chapter 33, I want to look at a portion here that shows again where the presence of the Lord is very tangible, and Joshua is there to see it and to understand it. And starting in verse 7, of chapter 33 of Exodus, it says this. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. So this was, a tent that Moses had. This was before the tabernacle had been built. This was before Moses had gone up onto the mountain and received everything. It's actually predating what has been written here, but it's just talking about this is a place that Moses went to hear from God. So let's continue. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud, now the pillar of cloud represented the presence of God, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak to Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. Listen to that again. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. What a powerful picture. Now listen to this. And when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. So here's the picture. Moses is going out to the tent of meeting. It's outside the camp. The children of Israel rise up. They know that when this happens, that the glory of the Lord comes down, that Moses goes into the tent, and God speaks with Moses face to face. But guess who's in there with Moses? Moses isn't alone. Moses' assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, is in the tent with him. And when Moses leaves the tent, guess what Joshua does? Joshua stays behind in the tent. See, Moses is someone who's unique in all of the Old Testament. But can I tell you that he's not unique to today? Can I tell you that just as Moses spoke with God face to face, God has revealed his word to us, and through his word he speaks to us. Almost as if it is face to face. And he speaks to us through his word like a man speaks to his friend. That's how it's said that Moses spoke to the Lord, as a man speaks to his friend. Well, what a picture of God. You know, this is what John's gospel reveals to us in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. You are my friends if you walk in my ways and if you walk in my will." So he's a friend to us. But Moses had this unique relationship. He spoke to the Lord face to face. And it was at this time that the young man Joshua was being taught. Joshua was going to school. Joshua was going to school. And this is one of the things that we had talked about a few weeks back. You know, again, that song that John Michael Talbot used to sing with the line, and it said that, "Let those who have followed be the ones who have led." See, God is preparing Joshua for leadership right now. And in order for us, you know, God is preparing you right now, and God is preparing me right now. In the same way that Joshua was, attending school, so to speak, that's what he has for us, because Joshua is being prepared for future leadership. And Joshua God has plans for your life and for my life as well. And this isn't a unique instance in the Bible. Joshua is under Moses. Samuel was under Eli. Solomon was under David. The apostles were under Jesus. Elisha was under Elijah. Paul was under Gamaliel. We see it again and again that great men of God who were used mightily for God, they went to school, so to speak. They were taught. They were learning under someone. So where are you right now? And are you learning? Are you learning the lessons that God wants you to learn? Do you recognize that God is preparing you for something in the future? Is God a part of your plans? Or put another way, are you making your plans and not including God in them? God wants to be a major part of your life. That's the whole point of his relationship with us. And sometimes it takes a long time. You see, here's Joshua sitting in the tent. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Luke chapter 10. Jesus is in the house. And Martha is making all of the preparations. And she's a little upset because her sister Mary is not helping her. Now, where's Mary? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha says to Jesus, "Jesus, tell Mary to help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Mary has chosen that which is better, and it will not be taken from her." You know, sitting at the feet of Jesus, this is what Joshua is doing right here. He's learning about God. He's going to school. And you know, the school sometimes can take a long time. You know, I remember when I first got saved, and I was in Youth with a Mission, and I was praying about guidance. I was praying about, you know, I'd gone through the discipleship training school, which was a 5-month program. I'd gone through the school of evangelism, which was a 5-month program. And I was praying, "Lord, what's the next step? What do you want me to do? Where in the world do you want me to go? Because you need me right now. Surely you don't want me to go to college and waste my time in college." That's really what I was thinking. "Surely you need me right now somewhere in the world." And I planned, okay, then finally I said, "Well, I'll go to Zion Bible Institute, and I'll just go there for 1 year because I got to get back. I got to get out in the mission field because God needs me right now." No, but what God really wanted me to do was to go to school. I remember one of the seniors, his name was Angel. He was a married student as I was, because Suzanne and I were married when we went to Bible college. And he came to me and he said, you know, when I told him my plans, because, you know, I have to get out there because God needs me now. You know, and he says, "You know, Michael, you just need to pray about that. You know, maybe the Lord wants you to go through the entire years here and spend your time really learning about Him." And I prayed about that, and the Lord brought me through, because I thought, you know, Jesus is coming back and I've got to get out there now. And well, that was back in the early 1980s, and Jesus still isn't back. And sometimes when God brings us into school, sometimes it takes a long time, because you think Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he's 40 years old, and he says, you read in Acts chapter 7 where Stephen is preaching, he says, Moses thought that the children of Israel would realize that God was raising him up as a deliverer. But they kind of didn't get that, and he actually needed to go to a different school than the Egyptian school. You know, he knew all of the wisdom of the world, but God says, "Now I want to unteach all of that to you, and I want to teach you about my wisdom." So Moses ended up fleeing, and he spent another 40 years in the wilderness. God, that's a waste of time, isn't it? No, he was going to school, and he was learning, he was unlearning and learning things, and how many times, you know, here's Joshua now, he's in the tent of meeting. Guess what? It's going to take Joshua another 40 years before we get to Joshua chapter 1, which is what we read at the beginning, where God is saying to him, "Be strong and courageous," because and the children of Israel are going to go in the book of Numbers, and they're going to go spy out the land, and guess what's going to happen? The 10 spies are going to bring a bad report. Joshua and Caleb are going to bring a good report, but they're not going to be allowed to go in. It's going to take how many years? 40 years. So it's going to be another at least 40 years before Joshua is in that place of leadership that he's going to be. But guess what? In the meantime, God is teaching Joshua. Joshua is going to school. Wherever you're at right now, you know, be open to what God is trying to teach you and to show you. And spend time with Him. Spend time with Him as Joshua was in that tent. It was imperative that Joshua learn, since the great man Moses was going to die. And he wasn't going to be able to bring them into the promised land. It had already been revealed to him. You're not the one to bring them in. But Joshua, my servant, is going to bring him in. And he's learning, as he did in Exodus 24, that the reality of God and His glory is awesome, and that God would also guide him and lead them. So the things that I'm talking about, this portion of Scripture right now, it represents maybe the classroom. God wants us to spend time with Him. God wants us to spend time in His Word. And we need to spend time in the classroom. But the main place, I think, where we learn about God is out in the real world. in the space and time world that we live in. That's really where we learn the real lessons. And so I just want to go really briefly. Let's go back a chapter to chapter 32. And it's the story of the golden calf. And how many of you know, for instance, I don't know the exact numbers, but before Thomas Edison made the light bulb, how many times did he fail? What was it, like 180 or something like that? Things that he found out didn't work before he found out the one that did. I wish. I think it's more than that, William. It was quite a few. And sometimes, you know, how many of you know that we all make mistakes? We all blow it. And you want to know what those are? Those are opportunities for us to learn. Those are opportunities for us to learn lessons about life. And so here we are in Exodus chapter 32, and let me just start to read from it. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in your ears and the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Joshua was about to learn something in this instance, something that all of us need to learn. Joshua was going to learn the truth that sin is terrible, and especially among the people of God. It says in verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This was a sobering thing that happened. And the results of what are going to take place because of it are things that Joshua's never going to forget. Verse 25 says, and when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. This is when the Levites were chosen to be the servants of the Lord rather than the firstborn of Israel. And going down to verse 34, it says, but now go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf, the one Aaron had made. Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf. Again, Joshua learned a terrible truth that day, the terribleness of sin. And I believe that in our times, many in the church have begun to take their sin too lightly. We're going to see that these things were written as examples for every one of us. The people made a god that was not a god. And as soon as they had done this, there was a complete moral breakdown. Verse 6 says, and they rose up early the next morning, Remember the next day, rather, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And let me just be pretty blunt with you. What most theologians say, that word rose up to play, it's the same root word of what is said in Genesis when Potiphar's wife is seducing Joseph. And when Joseph will have none of it, she accuses Joseph of wanting to make sport of me or play with me. It's the same terminology. And most of the foreign gods in those days, as you know, those of us that were in class and those of us on Wednesday night, we know that when the Israelites sinned against God after Balaam tried to put a curse on them and couldn't, the way that they got him to do it was to make sacrifices to the Midianite gods and commit sexual immorality with them. And that's what is exactly what was happening right here. It was a form of Baal worship. And this is how far they had gone. They turned away from God. They built an idol. And it led to a moral breakdown. This is exactly what Paul describes will take place in a society that turns from God in Romans chapter 1. Paul points out in Romans 1 that turning away from the living God always leads to a moral breakdown. And guess what? It has in our day. It absolutely has in our day. And some of us now, we can't even see it anymore because we're so hardened to it. We're so callous to the things that go on. And part of the callousness is because of, for instance, television and the things that we just see every day on our television sets. You know, some of us who are my age and older, we remember when you couldn't even show a bra on television. You weren't allowed to show any of that. You remember the Dick Van Dyke Show, Mary Tyler Moore and Rob Petrie, they had separate beds. I mean, it's a little unrealistic, isn't it? Most of us now that we're older, we're separate beds now, right? No, I'm only kidding. But moral breakdown. This is what Joshua is learning. And this is what we need to learn. These are some of the lessons that we need to learn. And we can't fool around with sin. We can't take it too lightly. We need to understand that it is a terrible thing and that there are consequences to it. But today, in today's day and age, you don't hear that preached from pulpits. You don't hear people talking about these things. And we hear about God as a God of love, and God is a God of love. He is a God of love. But God has his way, and he wants us to follow his ways. And there are consequences when we don't follow his ways. All right, let me go to verses 1 through 4 again. Let me just go back to verse 3. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Jewish tradition tells us that when they made this golden calf and they proclaimed that these are your gods, that they actually put the name of God on the golden calf. The Tetragrammaton, which is how God had revealed himself to them in Exodus chapter 3. I am who I am. They're saying, these are your gods who brought them out. And Joshua's learning another lesson. And what is the lesson that he's learning in that? He learns this, that merely using the name of God is not sufficient. Merely using the name of God is not enough. It's more than, you know, they made something and they put the name of God on it, but you can't just attach the name of God. See, there are so many people today that are following another gospel and they're calling it Christianity. You know, we talked about that last week. You know, if you want to find a church right now that believes that God would not send anyone to hell and there's really no such thing as hell, you can find a church today. But I'm telling you right now that is not Christianity. They may use the same names. They may talk about Jesus. They may say some of these things, but just using the name. See, the whole will of God is what God wants us to know and to understand. And just putting the name on something, you know, that and saying that this is God, that doesn't make it God. This is why we have to know the Word of God. This is why he said to Joshua in chapter 1 that you are to meditate on my law day and night so that you can know my ways. This is what Moses is going to cry out in the same chapter 33. He cries out, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me who you are. I want to know you. He cries out, I want to know you. And that's what our heart's cry has to be. This is why Joshua stayed in the tent, because he wanted to know this God. He's the one who went up on the mountain with Moses. He was on the mountain with Moses. He was in the tent with Moses. He was there on the mountain also when God revealed himself. He was with Moses. He was learning of God. And God wants us to be in the same school. And he wants us to realize that, you know, it's more than just attaching a name to something. It reminds me of the seven sons of Sceva. You know, they were trying to cast out a demon. They say, in the name of the God that Paul preaches, we command you to come out. And guess what happened? They didn't know. They were just using the name. But the name didn't work because they didn't know the God. And the demon attacked them and beat them, and they all went out bleeding and naked. They thought just because they had the name that it was going to mean something. No, God wants us to get to know him and to follow his ways and to walk in his truth and to not you know, lightly skim over sin and think that it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. It reminds me of also 1 Samuel chapter 4 when the Philistines are going to war against the Israelites and they think, you know, let's bring the Ark of the God of the covenant of God into the camp. And they think just because they bring the Ark of God that they're going to win the battle. And it says that they raised such a great shout that the ground shook. And the Philistines were afraid and they said, oh, a great God has come into the camp. There was no God in the camp. They brought the Ark of the covenant, which represented God's presence, but God wasn't there. And they were soundly defeated. The Philistines said, let's be men. Let's fight like men. Listen, if you're going to fight like a man, I don't care if you fight like a man. You can't be God. Which tells me that even though they had the Ark of the covenant of the Lord, they didn't have the Lord of the covenant of the Ark. The Lord wasn't there. Because they had fallen away. They weren't following God. Today we need to go to this school. We need to be in the school of the Lord. We need to be learning from the Lord and understanding and knowing truth and understanding and knowing what he wants, because God is calling us as leaders, but we have to be willing to learn from him and to learn under him. God has a, listen, do you believe that we are living in the last days, or at least just the days that are leading right up to them? I believe it. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We can't be playing church anymore. We need to be getting serious with God. Because if we do, we'll be used of him mightily. God was preparing Joshua. Joshua was in school, and these are some of the things he was learning. He was in the tent, but he was also with Moses and following Moses and seeing how God was using him and what was going on. And he was learning, oh my gosh, sin is a terrible thing. Look at what happens when we sin. Wow, just using the name of God isn't enough. I've got to know the God. I've got to have a relationship with this God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. All right. What did Joshua also learn? Joshua would also learn here that there is a place for godly anger. Because as you read in verse 19, it says that, and as soon as they came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot. And he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. You know, it never says anywhere in there that God rebuked Moses for doing that. Moses was actually, in this point, Psalm 106, verse 23, says that Moses was standing in the breach for the Israelites. In this time, he was standing in their place. He was interceding for them. And he threw down those tablets. Why did he throw them down? Because they broke the covenant. God would again later on tell him, chisel out some stones like the ones I'd made for you earlier, and I'll write on them the words again. Because Moses intervenes. And in this sense, Moses is like a type of Christ. Because the Lord says, separate yourself from them. I'm going to wipe them out and make the people out of you. And he says, no. He says, blot my name out of the book. He says, no, the one that who has sinned I will blot out of the book. But Moses intervened. Moses interceded for them. That's what Jesus has done for you and for me. You see, these things that are written, you know, the people that died because of this, that's what our fate should be. Because every one of us in here has broken God's laws. Every one of us in here we deserve the same fate as they have. When their brothers rose up against them and killed them. Why? Because we've all broken God's laws, but Jesus made a way. Jesus became a curse for us, I read this morning. Because the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on. He became that curse that we wouldn't have to see it. Jesus took the penalty. Jesus paid the price for us. Jesus stood in the gap. And in this chapter, Moses is a type of Jesus because he's interceding for his people. He's crying out for them. It says in verse 32, but now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go and lead them. See, Moses was willing. It's like Paul says, I could wish myself a curse for my own people. My brothers, I tell you that they have a zeal for God, but they don't have knowledge. They don't understand. Paul and Moses were two people that said that they could wish themselves cut off. I don't know if I've ever been that far. I don't want to wish myself cut off. He was interceding. Jesus was, though. Jesus was cut off for his people. He was cut off. And Joshua was learning that there was a time for righteous indignation. I like what Francis Schaeffer said about this. We must say that the exercise of godly anger is dangerous to us because we so often mix it with egoism. But let us not forget that there is a place for godly anger. And I think that what we see happening in the world today, and specifically in our own country, with some of these breakdowns, I think that it has caused many of us in the church to have this kind of a godly anger. And I think the results of it are that we've seen a glimmer, just a small glimmer of hope, maybe for a short period of time here, as God is having mercy upon us. But we can't let up. We've got to continue to stand firm and to stand strong for the Lord in these last days. In 1 Corinthians 14, or rather 10, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 1 to 14. It says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what we just saw, isn't it? We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. But they were written down for our instruction. They were written down for, listen, we are in school, brothers and sisters. Just as Joshua was in school, we are in school. These things were written down for our instruction so that we would recognize and know that we're not playing a game. And that if we will follow the Lord with all of our hearts, He has a mighty plan for us. Let me continue on. but they were written down for our instruction, whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Last week we had Call to Fall Sunday. And the entire church, we all got down on our knees and prayed, and we prayed a prayer of repentance for our nation and for our land. And today, I know that God wants to stir our hearts this morning. Just close your eyes with me for a minute. I'm not going to have anybody raise their hands or anything, but just close your eyes with me for a moment. Because God wants to bring breakthroughs in our life. God wants to change us and make us holy. And we can only do that when we are in association with Him. Maybe today, maybe there's some small, or maybe it's large, besetting sin in your life. Something that you just can't seem to get victory in or victory over. Something that you know that doesn't please God, but you keep falling in it. You keep stumbling in it. I want you to know today that there's victory in Jesus. And I want you just to give it to Him today and ask Him to take it away from you. Just in your heart and in your mind right now, just name it before the Lord. He already knows anyway, so you're not telling Him something He doesn't know, but just name it before the Lord. Say, Lord, this is this sin that's been in my life. And just recognize that it's not a small matter. Joshua learned the terribleness of sin. And I think we need to relearn that in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Whatever that thing is in your life that you're struggling to have victory over, recognize it that it is something terrible and that it is not something to be fooling around with. Recognize also that the minute you lay it at the altar, God will take it away. And He can make you an overcomer. That's His promise, that He will make us overcomers, that He will bring victory in our lives. He brings victory. Chapter 34, this is what we read. The Lord said to Moses, cut for yourselves two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. And be ready by the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite the mountain. So Moses cut the two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand two tablets of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousand generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And Lord, we just worship you right now. Moses said this, if I've now found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took our sin upon us, upon yourself, I mean, Lord God. You took our sin upon you, and you carried it away. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that we would learn today as Joshua learned and as Moses learned of your love and of your forgiveness to 1,000 generations, that you would deliver us, O God, and that you would make us to be overcomers, for Lord, you want us in these last days to do great and mighty things for you. And so we just thank you and praise you, Lord God. We ask you to cleanse us of our own personal sins, O Lord God. Lord, as David said, against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight.